Maybe you don't even have staff, but maybe you have people that are, you know, that are close to the business. So they're contractors or they are manufacturers or they're people that you've got a relationship with in your business, but you're not focusing in on how are you marketing to them. And again, people can sometimes confuse that every bit of marketing you do has to result in a sale. And you feel like, well, I'm actually paying the manufacturer, so they're not selling, you know, they're not buying anything from me. They are working with you and their impression of you and your business is part of your brand reputation that is going out into the marketplace and is a form of marketing. So that's word of mouth marketing. And we often think of word of mouth marketing as only positive. Word of mouth marketing can also be very negative. Do you love your business? You should, right? Well, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business Coach podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love by providing tips and tactics, tools, insights, inspiration, all the good stuff to help you actually enjoy running your business. In addition to actionable tips and tactics that you'll be able to execute immediately, you'll also hear from creative small business owners around the world who've been able to sidestep the hustle and build a business that merges their passion with their purpose and provides a profit. I'm your host, Fiona Kalacki, founder of My Daily Business Coach. Let's get going. Hello and welcome to episode 292 of the My Daily Business Coach podcast. Today, you are listening to a coaching episode where I'm really going to dive into one area of marketing I think so many small business owners fail to think about. So if you are someone that wants to get your marketing a little bit more human and really connect with your audience in a deeper way, then stay tuned. The other thing I should mention is I'm not sure if you can hear it, but I'm being joined on this recording by a whole troop. I think there's another word for this, a whole flock of birds outside my window. I have got cockatoos and kookaburras and a couple of rosellas looking down at me right now. They are making some noise, so they're welcome. It is their land after all. I'm just passing by. And on that, of course, I should also acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians on this beautiful land I'm looking out at right now as I record, and that is the Wamarong and Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge that sovereignty has never been ceded. All right, let's get into today's episode. Okay, so I said at the start that today's coaching episode is all about marketing, and it is. So if you want to take notes, of course you can take notes. If you are listening to this somewhere that you can't take notes, know that you'll always be able to find the show notes, which are a full transcript of these, over at mydailybusinesscoach.com/podcast. And for today's episode, it will have another /292, as this is episode 292. So today I want to talk about internal marketing. What is it? Why you need it? And give you kind of five examples of internal marketing that you can use in your small business. Now, I am somebody who has worked in marketing for a long time and worked in brand. And I have to say that all of the stuff that I put out about marketing, the Marketing for Your Small Business course, all of that has a very big brand component to it. I think what's happened in the last 10 years or so is that we have confused marketing with digital marketing only, rather than looking at marketing, which is really connecting with your audience through various mediums, as a bigger, more holistic thing, like looking at it like that, rather than when I talk to people and sometimes they're like, I need help with my marketing. And we drill down. It's like, you're actually thinking you need help with Facebook ads. That's what you're talking about when you talk about marketing, rather than looking at the bigger picture of marketing, which is really creating brand loyalty and getting people to connect with your brand overall. So when I talk about marketing, just know that it's got a large brand lens on it. Okay, so with that being said, let's get back into what I was talking about, which is internal marketing. I think that is an area people just do not focus in on ever. Like I have to say, even people that are in very established businesses with a large volume of staff, I don't feel that when I look at marketing strategies or marketing plans from different people from all sorts of different industries, that internal marketing is really given that much time or space. And so what is internal marketing? Internal marketing is really the marketing that you're doing internally, like the name suggests, in your business to help create that connection and that love and that loyalty with, you know, your suppliers or with your employees or with other people that work within that business. What we can so often do is just focus on external marketing only. Similarly to brand values, or, you know, when you're looking at your values and your beliefs as a company, I'll often say to people, okay, you know, show me how they externally align. And people can rattle off all sorts of ways. Oh, you know, we're all about, I don't know, female empowerment. And so, you know, we can see that we do International Women's Day and we have a, you know, a percentage of our sales go to this cause or, you know, whatever it is. And yet internally, that alignment with that value is not there with their staff. So let's say, for example, prior to Anthony Albanese, who's the Australian Prime Minister, making it a legal requirement as of August 2022 that you have to have domestic violence leave policy. Very few companies had a domestic violence leave policy, let alone paid time off so that people can figure out what their next steps are or can go and seek help or refuge. That, until August last year, I would say was missing from 98, even 99% of businesses, even if those businesses were ones that proclaimed that they were very much aligned with the value of, you know, looking after women. And so that misalignment happens all the time between internal and external when it comes to values. And it's also something that I feel personally, this is my own opinion, is also missed a lot when it comes to internal and external marketing. The internal marketing is not looked after. So what do I mean by examples of this? So when you're thinking, well, what does internal marketing actually look like? It can look like your onboarding procedures. It can look like staff training. It can look like all sorts of things. So I'm going to go through five of those. So if you have staff, even if it is just one staff member and maybe they're remote, I have Erica who works with me. She's remote. She's amazing. I would hope that she does think that we do a little bit of internal marketing. And it's also with sort of suppliers that you may have. Maybe you don't even have staff, but maybe you have people that are, you know, that are close to the business. So they're contractors or they are manufacturers or they're people that you've got a relationship with in your business, but you're not focusing in on how are you marketing to them. And again, people can sometimes confuse that every bit of marketing you do has to result in a sale. And if you're like, well, I'm actually paying the manufacturer, so they're not selling, you know, they're not buying anything from me. They are working with you and their impression of you and your business is part of your brand reputation that is going out into the marketplace and is a form of marketing. So that's word of mouth marketing. And we often think of word of mouth marketing as only positive. Word of mouth marketing can also be very negative. And so you've got to really think about, in terms of your marketing, how are you marketing holistically? And internal marketing is part of that. So I'll list off five sort of areas that you could think about doing more in if you're not already. And again, these are the ideal, but you should have at least one or two of these that you are focusing in or that are part of your marketing plan for the next 12 months. So the first thing, and I touched on it very lightly before, was the onboarding process. So when people come into your business to work for you, what is your onboarding process like? So onboarding is literally, you know, the way you board people onto or into your business. So things like setting them up for success. And again, people will be like, well, that's not marketing, that's business operations or business systems. I am very much of the kind of Milan Kundera way of thinking about marketing, where there's a famous quote by Milan Kundera that says, business can be divided into two areas. I'm paraphrasing here. Says it a bit better than me, but your innovation or marketing. So either you are making a product or offer and you're innovating on that, or you're telling people about it. Those are the two areas. So everything, I see business systems, this is why I talk a lot with clients about business systems, as a huge part of your brand and a huge part of the marketing. If the systems don't work, your marketing can have like amazing messages, but if that promise isn't real because your systems don't work to support it, it goes down the toilet and your reputation is damaged. So to come back to the first point of onboarding, you want to make sure that when people are joining your business, particularly employees, that there's a great onboarding process. I'm sure we have all gone into companies where the onboarding process was non-existent. You are literally given, if you're lucky, a computer or given a desk to sit at, or, you know, maybe it was when you, I don't know, worked in a retail and you were just put straight onto the shop floor with very little training or very little understanding of how their business operates. What are their goals? What are they trying to achieve? What are their values as a brand? Who's their audience? Like, we just forget sometimes when we're putting people into a role that we want to set them up to succeed, because ultimately if they succeed, then our business succeeds. And yet our onboarding processes can often be virtually non-existent. Or I've seen, you know, other people where they've got onboarding processes, but they're not updated. So they haven't been updated in 5 years. So maybe something massive has happened to the company and that hasn't been included. But also with the onboarding process, it's not just about training and getting people up to speed on the DNA of the company. It's also creating that human connection like you try and do with all your other types of marketing. So for example, I was talking to somebody a couple of years ago now, and this person and I are acquaintances, and they have quite a large company now in Australia, and we were talking about their staff, and they were saying to me, yeah, we're up to 50 or 60 staff. And I was like, wow, that's massive. Like, you know, from where they came from to that is huge. And I said, what do your staff think of you? And the person kind of jokingly said, oh, I think they're a bit scared of me, to be honest. And I said, why? And they said, oh, because they only really meet me if things escalate to a, you know, a negative degree, and then they have to meet me. And I said, but don't you have an onboarding process? Like, don't they meet you when they start at the company? And they're like, no, they don't. And it led to this whole conversation where I was like, wouldn't it be great if you wrote them a letter, you know, that yes, 50 or 60 staff, but they're not all coming in at once. So maybe you've got five people, that's five letters. It's not that hard to write five letters or five little welcome cards. Because if you got a welcome card from somebody who owns the company, they're going to be super inspired. Maybe they join the company because they think what you've done is just incredible. Maybe they've got their own ideas of doing something similar in the future. Maybe you remind them of somebody in their family that has also gone for, you know, is really ambitious and gone for gold. And so getting that letter that has been customized, tailored to them and is handwritten, that's just such a special thing that I think we don't think to do. Likewise, you know, maybe on their first day, there's a cupcake waiting for them, or there's a lunch that, you know, other people in the business, well, sometimes it feels like a family, have brought in. Maybe everyone brings a pot lunch and you share and you talk and they get to know people on a human level. Again, I feel like this is something that is not done enough. People start and everyone's like, oh my God, we're so busy. We needed you yesterday. And we fail to have that human level of connection to bring somebody on and make that starting point with the brand, the business, as good as possible. You know, when you're nurturing a new customer, you're trying to show your best self. And yet we don't always do that when people start with us at a company. So that's one example of onboarding. Other things that could be done for onboarding, I mean, just simple stuff, making sure that you've got your contract sorted, making sure that people are really aware of what you expect from them, making sure that if you do have brand DNA documents or anything about the brand, how it started, why it started, that that is relayed to them. I was talking to a client this morning who's bringing somebody on board, and I said, you know, you've got to remember they don't know anything about your business. Like, yes, they know a bit about it. They might have looked online for, you know, 10 minutes, but they're not going to know a huge amount about your business. So if you can even create some Loom videos to be like, this is what our online store is, these are the key categories, this is, you know, these are some mood boards in Pinterest about our ideal audience, or this is what we roughly do on Instagram. We also are using Pinterest or TikTok or whatever it is. Giving them, again, through video and through your voice narrating over that Loom video, for example, or any kind of screen sharing, you're giving them that human connection and allowing them to get up to speed and to be able to succeed in their role. So onboarding is a huge one that people don't think about when they think about internal marketing. What does our onboarding look like so that when people enter into this company, whether they are an employee or whether they are, you know, a supplier or a contractor, that they have some idea of who we are. I remember when I got my job at my last employed role, it was a senior role, and a recruiter sent cupcakes on the day that I started. And I thought that was such a cool thing because she sent them to me, which, you know, obviously I'm not going to sit and eat 12 cupcakes at my desk, you know, being like, hi, I'm the new person, I'm not going to share. But she had in there a note, like, thought you could share these around and get to know people. And I was like, that's a great, I mean, obviously she's a recruiter, that's what they do. They know all about this stuff, but it was such a good idea because it was like, oh yeah. And then I did get to talk to people and we all had a cupcake and we all chatted. But I can't say that that company necessarily, I'm trying to think, I think we did go out for lunch. I have to give them credit where credit's due. But I feel like, you know, in a lot of companies, you do go in and you feel awkward and it's your first day and you're worried about what you're wearing and all the stuff. And to just make that a little bit easier, even if people are working remotely for you. So it could be organizing, you know, something that they're going to receive on their first day, whether it's through Uber Eats or something else, like something small. It doesn't have to be really expensive. Or it could just be a video that's like, hey, I'm running to a meeting right now, but I just wanted to say, I'm so excited that you're starting today and I cannot wait to get to know you more. From the founder, for example, that can be done on your phone. It can be done anywhere. So there's not really an excuse as to why these things aren't being done, except that I think people just they just forget about doing them. So that's the first one, onboarding processes when we think about internal marketing. The second one, sort of similar to this, is making sure that you're celebrating things like birthdays or milestones. You know, if people have been with your business for a year, you know, do they have something? I remember when I walked into Warby Parker headquarters in New York, I was on this amazing Fast Company conference and we went into the headquarters and they had balloons up. They had these blue balloons up on people's chairs, like one said 3, one said 5, one said 1. And they were people who were celebrating an anniversary that month with the company. So, you know, the person that had a 5-year balloon, I mean, that's also telling everyone around them, like, this person's experienced, this person knows their stuff. They've also done a really good job. That's why we've kept them on for 5 years. And it was a way of celebrating them. They also had cake and they had, you know, other ways to really make like a birthday celebration for people to say, you have helped us. You have been helping us build this business for this amount of time. And we want to publicly recognize that with everyone here. So celebrating things like birthdays, celebrating things like milestones, celebrating when people have hit a certain target that you know, they really needed to hit. And not in like a, you know, staff member of the month kind of thing, but in a real connected way, even if it's as little as, you know, getting somebody to come into your office or going out for a coffee in the morning and just saying, hey, I just think you're doing an incredible job. And I just want you to know that and that you are really helping us build this business and we couldn't do it without you and all the things, because those small conversations, they might seem small to you, but those are the things that stick in people's minds and remind them that I love where I work. I feel respected. I feel valued of where I work. And again, I feel like it's something that can easily be missed in the busyness of the day-to-day. So if you are listening to this and you have staff and you haven't done any of these, it's not to put blame on you and make you feel bad. Maybe think about, what could I do today? What small thing could I do today? Maybe I'm going to, when I get my coffee, I'm going to get somebody else's coffee or I'm going to get them a little biscuit or whatever. And just be like, thank you. Just want to say thanks. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Because we can't build our businesses and we can't scale them without other people. So that's the second one, birthdays and milestones, making sure that they are in the calendar and that you are reminded of this. And also, you know, I think one thing that kind of does get annoying sometimes at businesses is that I know some places I've worked, if there are a lot of people and there are a lot of birthdays, it feels like you have to donate money like every 2 seconds to somebody's birthday. I think what should happen, if it can happen with the business, is that the business takes that amount of money and says, you know what, for every new person that comes on every year, they get a $50 allowance for their birthday, or they get, you know, they get a cake from here and they get this type of present, whatever it is, whether it's a voucher, whether it's not actually a cash present, maybe it's something else, but that it's not on your other staff to make that person feel good on their birthday. It's you. You have brought them on. They are your responsibility in terms of creating an amazing environment for them. Remember, this is marketing. And so, you know, maybe doing the calculations and thinking, for every staff member, can we afford to put aside $40 per staff member or $30 or $20 per staff member to get them something really fun? And to maybe get them something that's personalized or feels good for them. So again, it doesn't have to be massively expensive, but I think it's something that businesses, we expect our people to do incredible things for us and to come up, you know, no matter what else is happening in their life, they should turn up, they should do their work, they should do it to an amazing degree every single time. And yet we don't think of small things like making sure that on their birthday they get XYZ, or even on their birthday that they get a day off. I know with the VAs that I've had, I've often said, when's your birthday? Because we'll put that in the calendar and make sure you don't have to work. Like, you shouldn't work on your birthday. That's my own personal opinion. I don't work on my birthdays. But I know that that can be hard to scale, especially if you've got really important things happening around certain months and people can't take days off. But it's something to think about with birthdays and milestones. How are you celebrating? How are you building that connection internally through your internal marketing and your systems? The third one, really important again. And again, people will be like, oh my God, this is all costing so much money. But you want to think about how much money do you spend on your external marketing? Like how much do you spend on that versus your people and making sure that they feel really great and happy and content and excited to come to work. So the third one is upskilling and really looking at things like training budgets. So again, people will be like, this isn't marketing. This is business operations. Like I said at the start, I really feel like marketing encompasses all of this. If people are hating their job and then they go to a barbecue and somebody says, oh, you work there, what's that like? Whatever comes out of their mouth is a form of word of mouth marketing. And so you're going to make this as good as possible. So the other thing is that through this point of upskilling or training budgets, that you are actually, you know, you're investing in your own business by investing in your staff. So again, that last employed role that I was at, I remember saying to the MD, you know, do we have a training budget for staff? And they didn't. They had a training budget for more senior staff. And again, I think this is something that gets missed a lot, is that more junior staff often are the people that need the training. They are the people who maybe this is their first or second job. And so they need the training more than other people. Plus, they usually have a lot more, not always, but, you know, they're a lot more eager and excited to do training, whether that's, you know, even if it's just a weekend class. Like, so be thinking about in terms of creating an amazing place for people to work and creating an amazing brand that has great internal marketing, whether that's with the employees or with your suppliers, that you are thinking about upskilling. So an incredible example of this that I think is fantastic internal marketing is during the pandemic, and this is open because I did interview this person and they talked about this. I think it was on my podcast or maybe they talked about it on somebody else's podcast. But Sage & Claire, an incredible brand out of Melbourne, they, during the pandemic, they have a lot of stockers. And so what they did was that they opened up training to those stockers. So those stockers who had, you know, bricks and mortar stores that were selling their product, you know, some of them or a lot of them had to move online or maybe really rejuvenate their online site. And so Sage & Claire, through their own means, created a portal for people to have training, for those stockers to have training on, you know, how to get the most out of your Shopify. They took all of the information that they know about running their own business largely online and shared it with their stockers. So their stockers were able to feel like they were getting help from somebody who had done this and done it really well. And the brand, Sage & Claire, was also strengthening those relationships. So that is an incredible example of this point of upskilling and training and using that as part of your internal marketing. Now, I happen to know the founder of Sage & Claire, Phoebe Bell, and I don't think that she, you know, sat down and was like, oh, this is very strategic and it's going to help us. I think she genuinely was like, I want to help people right now, that and how can we do this? Because that's just the type of person that she is. But if you're looking at skills and training in your business, think about, do we have a training budget for our staff? Do we allow people to upskill? So even in my business, I have one main staff member. Then you have other people on the periphery that we work with every so often. And the staff member that I have, my OBM, Erica, I have bought courses and sent them to her and be like, hey, you know, you told me that you wanted to upskill in XYZ. So I bought this course. Here's the login. She also has free coaching with me about her own business so she can schedule that in. She's very nice and she often will not, I mean, not very nice. She can be a bit modest and sometimes she'll be like, oh no, I didn't want to schedule it in because you're so busy. And I'm like, no, schedule it in. This is your business. So she gets free coaching. Every VA that I've worked with can get free coaching from me. And we sit down and we go through her own business and how's she going to make her money and what are her goals and, you know, what does her time blocking look like and all of that. So all of those are elements that add to internal marketing, but also add to the overall, you know, contentment that I hope that she has with working with me and being part of our company. I love how I said this was going to be a short episode and it's not at all. So number four kind of goes with this as well, lunch and learns. So lunch and learns is a very kind of corporate term, but lunch and learns can work really well in a small business as well. So what does that mean? It means people within the company may decide to teach everyone in the company about something. So let's say you are the social media manager of the company, you might decide to do a lunch and learn for the rest of the company to come and learn about TikTok and what's changing with TikTok. Is it going to be banned in the US? All these sorts of things. And you could do that as part of the training for the rest of the company, but also you're allowing that employee to, and even if they're, you know, a contractor or a remote worker, to upskill, to build their own profile and to get practice at public speaking and presenting and training. So a lot of the time, if you talk to your staff, a lot of them would love to, that opportunity to be able to, like, one, I'd like to build my profile within this company. Two, I'd like to show my skill set. And three, I'd like to get practice of pulling together a mini workshop or a presentation, because maybe they've never done that and they've actually wanted to pitch themselves to, you know, be on a panel or to do things like that, but they haven't had the opportunity to practice it somewhere first. So that could be something. The other thing you can do with lunch and learns is to bring other people in. And again, let's say you didn't have employees, but you have a whole bunch of suppliers and manufacturers, you might invite them into an event and have somebody present. So a great example of this, actually, another great example, is from a company called Character and Distinction in Melbourne. They are a PR and comms firm headed up by Kate Dinon, who is now at Culture Amp, but still part of that company. One of the things that they did really well with both of these training, the point three and point four, is that their employees were allowed to choose any conference in the world and go on the proviso that those employees also, when they came back, presented to all of their clients about key findings that they've learned. So if they go to South by Southwest, they come back and they might do a presentation on, you know, this is what Google was saying and this is what so-and-so was saying and these are the trends that we saw. And so they're sharing that information, and it's a way of internally marketing because you're incentivizing those staff by getting them to go to whatever conference they think is awesome, but also you're sharing that with your clients. So you're doing a form of internal marketing through the event of sharing what was learned on that conference. So that's number four, to really think about, you know, lunch and learns or profile building within your business. Again, another great way of internal marketing. And then the fifth, which is really important and have kind of sums up everything that I've just said, is to bring your people along on the journey with you. We always talk about in marketing, you know, bring your customers and clients along on the journey, show them the process of what goes into making a collection, or show them behind the scenes on a trip that you went to source fabric, or show them, you know, show them how you have written a book. I know when I wrote my first book, Passion, Purpose, Profit, I would put on Instagram stories, here I am at Officework printing out my first draft, or here I am about to go into Hardy Grant in Richmond and see the cover designs. I brought people on that journey so that when you present the book, you have marketed that book in a way, even though the book hasn't been around that, you know, physically yet, you have marketed and brought people on the journey. I feel like people understand how to do that externally to a degree. I don't think that people necessarily understand in small business how they should be doing that internally as well. So what does that look like? It looks like sharing your plans. You don't have to share every single financials with every member of staff or anyone that you're contracting remotely, but to say, this is where we're trying to go. This is why we're trying to do that. These are our goals. This is where we want to get to, and bring people in on the journey. So just to recap those five sort of ideas that you can think about when it comes to internal marketing, your onboarding processes, making sure that there's human connection in them. Number two, celebrating birthdays and milestones in a really beautiful, considered way. Number three, upskilling and setting training budgets for your staff or for people involved in the business. Number four, thinking about things like lunch and learns or having events where you share learning and education with your clients or within, you know, within the company. That also allows for profile building within the business. And then the last, number five, is to bring them on the journey. So that is it for today's coaching episode, all about internal marketing and why you need to do more of it in your business. I will be focusing another episode coming up soon on another major part of marketing that people fail to think about. And for that, make sure that you hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. As I said, if you wanted to go through this in text format, you can find that plus any links we mentioned over at mydailybusinesscoach.com/podcast/292. Thank you so much for listening. If you found this useful, please share it with a friend. And if you've got 2 seconds to spare, please leave us a review. It just really, really helps us get found by other small business owners who most likely need a bit of help with internal marketing as well. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business Coach podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that at mydailybusinesscoach.com or hit me up on Instagram at mydailybusinesscoach.